So we're just going to read one passage this afternoon, and we're going to read it as best as we can. And it's a very well-known passage, and it's in the book of Romans, chapter 5, please, the book of Romans. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. I sort of get lost after that, but it's the sixth book in the New Testament. So Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein ye stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death is passed upon all men, for all have sinned." And we'll leave our reading there, just for the purpose of time. And hopefully the Lord will bless our thoughts on this lovely passage. I'm not going to work down the passage. What's in my mind, ladies and gentlemen, is verse 6. And it says this: "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." Whenever I was growing up, and that's a while ago before somebody shouts out, whenever I was growing up, basically the gospel message was man's ruin and God's remedy. And sometimes we, as presenters of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we try and speak about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes we complicate things. And sometimes we make it that confusing that it's nearly like a stepladder into heaven. And it's not. I was thinking about a completely different message up until Thursday morning, and I woke up with this verse in my head: "For when we were yet without strength." Without strength. Yet without strength. "In due time, Christ died for the ungodly." So I want to look basically at three passages here. Three parts of this. I want to look at our condition. It says, "For when we were yet without strength." What does that mean? It says, "In due time, Christ died for the ungodly." So I want to think of our sin. We want to think of our Savior, and we want to think of our salvation. And we want to keep it as tight to that as we can. Now, I was struck sometimes, I don't know what you ladies and gentlemen are like, but sometimes when you're working hard and all the rest of it, and you have this to do and that to do, and you go to bed and you think, "Oh, this is so good. I wish I'd gone to bed hours ago." Well, the book of Romans is just like that. Sometimes sometimes we get maybe seemingly obscure passages, and sometimes we try and think our own thoughts and bring our own thoughts to the platform here. But you know, when you go to the book of Romans, it's so good. It's like going to the cake shop and getting death by chocolate cake. It is so good. Whenever you cut into it and you get a taste of it, and then you get another taste. Oh, maybe another wee bit there. Somebody's away, we'll get another bit. It's so rich and it's so good. But I was struck when I was reading the first five chapters of Romans about how small we are. How helpless we are. How sinful we are. And as I was thinking of that there, The way it opened up to me was from the Romans chapter 1, verse 1. It starts out about the gospel of God. It starts out about the gospel of God, the good news of God. Verse 3, it starts about the Son of God. It starts in verse 16 that you may have heard somebody shouting in an open street, the power of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. What does that mean, righteousness? That's a big long word. I could misspell that quite easily, and you may never have heard that word before. That the righteousness of God is revealed in this message. Righteousness means to be right before God. There were plenty of people when the Lord Jesus was down here, and they were what they called self-righteous. They thought they were okay by their own standards. But the Lord Jesus would look on those religious leaders, those people who thought they were righteous, and he would say, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. Woe unto you, lawyers, that bind grievous burdens to the people. They'll not lift one finger to help, and they'll make more rules and regulations. They thought they were righteous, but they were unrighteous. This gospel that we present is the righteousness of God. And why do we need the gospel of God? Why do we need to talk about the Son of God? Why do we need to talk about the power of God? Why do we need to explain the righteousness of God? Because, ladies and gentlemen, in case you haven't been told this for a wee while, or in case you forgot, and we're all prone to forget, that there is the wrath of God. The wrath of God. Oh, yes, God is love. Oh, yes, God is light. Oh yes, God has made everything in his time, and he's made everything beautiful in his time. He said it was good. And man comes in, and man disobeys. Man breaks the chain between God and man. And man is away from God. And man is sinful. And I am sinful. And on the basis of Romans 3, we are all sinful. There is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of God's standards. Not only is there the wrath of God, the Bible tells us that God is angry with the wicked every day. Is he angry with you? God tells us that, the word of God tells us, one of the prophets said, Lord, if you would mark down iniquity, that's sin. If you would mark down wrongdoing, who among us can stand? And Romans tells us that there's a wrath of God. God in his holiness, God in his righteousness, God in his love, and God in his light looks down, and he's got the wrath of God against sinful man. Not only have we got the wrath of God, but we've got the judgment of God. I think of that wee verse that was quoted to me whenever I was growing up. I'll say that was a wee while ago. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. But know thou that for all these things that you are, all these things that you're doing, it was written in the Old Testament, know this, that God will bring you into judgment. So here we have God in heaven. I want you to get this. I want you just to get this, the simplicity and the power of this message. That God in heaven sends his gospel. It's concerning his precious Son. It's got power to save you from your sins. It's got power to give you new life. It's got power to take you from going down to hell to changing your direction to heaven. It's got power to remove every sin, every stain, and bring you into God's family. The power of God. And yes, God is angry at sin. God is angry at sinners, and God will judge, and God will judge us all. Make no mistake of that. But we come into chapter 2. We come into chapter 2, and it says the goodness of God. The goodness of God leads you to repentance. That I don't know where you stand in relation to spiritual things. I don't know whether you maybe have professed to be a Christian in the past. Maybe you have signed up to something or other, but I just want us to peel back very simply. Just like the onion. Put a spoon in your mouth so you're no greeting. Just peel the onion back. Where
or when did you get right with God? Where or when did you get right with Holy God?
Are you right with God? Would you like to get right with God? Because that's what this gospel message is all about. But this verse here that we want to focus on, it says this: for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. So here we are, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm not judging you, but the Bible tells me I can't do anything to save myself. I cannot go to church every Sunday. Well, you could if you want. But I can't go to church every Sunday and think that's going to get me right with God. I can't give alms to the poor. I can't work in the soup kitchens. I can't work with the homeless and all the rest of it and expect that God is going to look on that favorably. Because this salvation that we present to you, ladies and gentlemen, it says, for when we were yet without strength. Yet without strength. So if I asked you at the door, and I won't, but if I asked you at the door, on what are you depending on to get to heaven? Have you ever come to a place in your life when you've come to the crossroads in your life when there was nothing else you could lean on or try or hope or be and all these things, and you come before God, and like the man in the New Testament, you cried out to God, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Have you ever come to that experience that you realized before God you were on the way to hell in the lake of fire, that there was a breath but a heartbeat between you and eternity? Have you ever been that burdened down with your sin that you want to get cleansed, that you want to get washed, that you want to be made a brand new person? You're fed up with your old life. I need a new change in my life. You know, in Romans 6, we don't have time to go through it, but in Romans 6, I wrote down, what did these people have? These people were justified before God. Wouldn't it be nice, ladies and gentlemen, to be justified? Wouldn't it be nice, ladies and gentlemen, not to be justified, but to know you were justified? What is justified? Justified means that God looks down from heaven and sees Robert Gray. Robert Gray, when he was 13 years old, he wasn't much of a person, but Robert Gray, 13 years of age, he trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. That I believe that Jesus Christ came, that Jesus Christ died, that he died for sinners, and he suffered on that cross at the hands of men. But in those dark hours on the cross, God put on him, the Lord Jesus Christ, Robert Gray's sins. And I believe that Jesus Christ died for Robert Gray's sins. And I trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does God say? God says, whether you say it or not, doesn't matter. No disrespect. But God says, Robert Gray is justified. Robert Gray's sins were nailed to Christ. Robert Gray is now in Christ. And God will not judge my sins twice. The Lord Jesus Christ has suffered for my sins, died for my sins, buried for my sins, and rose again. And I stand before God justified, that God can look in Christ and say, my son, my lovely son, my only son, has taken Robert Gray's sins. And Robert Gray is now justified. Isn't that a wonder that you could put your name in there? That you could say in such a year, the year of our Lord, I'm going to say 1800, the year of our Lord, 1900 and something, that I came to the cross and I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. I cried out to God for mercy and he heard my cry. And in his amazing grace, he saved me. These people were justified before. Just imagine if you or I died this evening. That's a cheery thought. Just imagine you and I died this afternoon and we went into eternity. Would we be justified before God? Are our sins forgiven? Because one day, ladies and gentlemen, no matter what age you hope or expect to live to, one day we will die. One day we will go into eternity. And God will look on us, not what we had in our bank book, not what we did, not what we said. God will look, saved by the blood of Christ, or lost. These people were justified by faith. These people have a current possession. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. So these people have been cleansed. These people have been made righteous by the death of Christ. Their sins are gone, and they're justified, and they've got peace with God. Have you got peace with God? If you stood before God tonight, have you got peace with God? Not only have they peace, but they've got hope. They've got hope. This world is hopeless. This world needs hope. But what does it say? They rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So they've got faith. They've got peace. They've got hope. They've got tribulation. Oh yes, if you're a Christian and you're living right, don't expect people to like you. Don't expect people to love you. Don't say, oh, see that person there? They're a great Christian. They're a great friend of mine. If you're friends with the world, you're at enmity with God. There's no gray matter. Friends with Christ, enemies of the world. These people have tribulation, and not only that, these people have love. But how did they get it? They got it simply because they had no strength of their own. They could do absolutely nothing to save themselves. They were, the Bible tells us, without God, without hope in this world. They were under the wrath of God, heading to the judgment of God, and they could do nothing to save themselves. And I want you to get it. How could they do nothing to save themselves? It says this here, for when we were yet without strength. And my friends, can I tell you lovingly, until you get to that stage in your life that you think, I can do nothing to save myself. I can do absolutely nothing to save myself. Until you get to that stage, you will never become a Christian. You will never come into the joy and the peace and the hope that these people had in the book of Romans. These people could do nothing. They could be nothing. They could give nothing. They could hope for nothing but God's mercy and God's grace. For when we were yet without strength, if you're depending on anything, only Christ, if you're depending on any other way to get to heaven except through the cross of Christ, my friends, you'll never be in heaven. There is only one way. Because the Bible tells me here, if you just read on, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. Let's not miss it that in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And better people than me could go up here and give you a big long list of all the prophecies, of all the things that the Old Testament prophets said, that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to come. He was going to come and he was going to become a man. He was going to be born in Bethlehem. He was going to be brought up in Egypt. He was going to be pierced through with many sorrows. And he was going to suffer and die. Oh yes, the Bible was specific that in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. This, the Lord Jesus Christ dying, was not an accident. Oh, please don't think that. The Lord Jesus Christ dying, yes, it was a miscarriage of human justice. But the Lord Jesus Christ dying was in God's plan. That's all that matters. It was in God's will. And it was God's purpose that the Lord Jesus Christ would come, become a man, and 33 years later, he would go to the cross. And there he would suffer. And there he would bleed. And there he would die. But what's this wee verse say? For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for who? Who did Christ die for? Well, this wee verse tells us. Christ died for the ungodly. That would lead to a question.
Who's the ungodly? I'm not ungodly. Don't you tell me I'm ungodly. I go to church. I put money in the Christian aid box. And I do good works to my neighbours. Don't you tell me I'm ungodly, Robert. Don't you tell me that.
Well, what I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, is that yet, when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. The ungodly. But you know, Paul, in his great treatise here, he goes on and he says, for scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we have got Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, who did no wrong, thought no wrong, and him was no wrong. And Pilate sought to release him. And the people said, away with him. Crucify him. We will not have this Christ to reign over us. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Crucify him. Crucify him. And the Lord Jesus would be crucified. And after men had done their worst to God's precious and only Son, there was darkness over all the land for 3 hours. And in those 3 hours, all the sin and all the badness and all the ungodliness and every other word you can think for wickedness, evil, and all those things that's in your heart and in your life and in mine, the Lord Jesus Christ would die for the ungodly. But I want you to get this. Now, I'm not saying this is why this was written, but a wee thought just occurred to me, that here we are, we are yet without strength. And in due time, and God's perfect plan, the Lord Jesus comes. And the Lord Jesus, just for the benefit of those who maybe think that God made his son go to the cross, and God did this, and God did that, and God did the other. The Lord Jesus Christ was willing to come. Did you ever think of the down stoop of the Lord Jesus? That there he was in heaven. He was the theme of angels' song. He was the worship of angels. And all things were made by him. All things were made for him. And he upholds all things by the word of his power. And here he is. He's on the cross. Here he is. He's become a man. Here he is, he's become a perfect sacrifice on Calvary's cross. And why is it? It's for the ungodly. For the ungodly. We're without strength, without God, and Christ has died for us, that he can bring us to God. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. God commends his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ has died for us. Oh, there's a price has been paid for sin on Calvary's cross. There has been an offering on Calvary's cross. Who is it? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Who's he dying for? He's dying for the ungodly. Who's he dying for? He's dying for sinners. Who's he dying for? He's dying for me. Because I have no strength. I can't do anything to save myself. I can't be anything or promise anything before God. I am without strength. And when I'm in all my weakness and can't do anything to save myself, God moves in. God sends his son to the cross. Jesus dies on the cross for my sins, the ungodly one. He dies that he can bring me to God. And that's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us, and not while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we have got our sin. We're sinners, we can do nothing. There's a Savior, and he offers salvation. And he offers salvation to you if you don't have it. He offers salvation to you if you want it. But you have to come as you are. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now it's still 10 to 11 there, and it's 3:30, so we'll just close. Let's close our eyes. Our Father, we bow with thanksgivings for the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that the Lord Jesus would come and suffer and bleed and die for the ungodly, for sinners, for us, for me. We bless thee, Father, that he has opened up the way back to thee. He has died that we might live. And if we repent and believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, we'll be saved